This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're continuing with today's Q&A with Layla, our weekly session in which we answer listeners' questions. Listeners can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. If you haven't already done so, I want to wish you all a very happy and successful and healthy new year. So, Layla, what's our next question?
Okay, we've got an email from Victor. Victor writes, just want to say thank you to Dr. Hoffman and yourself for the extremely wonderful information you provide. It amounts to a genuine public service, and it should be praised endlessly. Thank you, Victor, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Here's his question. As someone who has been prone to candida problems, I maintain an extremely low sugar, low carb diet, and I'm doing okay, but could probably do better. I'm a huge garlic lover, and my question is, can someone eat too much raw garlic? I could have up to a quarter of a pound with a meal at one time, almost as a side dish, you could say.
Yep.
It's finely chopped or minced. I feel fantastic the entire day after eating it. A family member feels that that's dangerous, that it's too strong and could be harmful in some way to the digestive system overall. Is there any truth to that concern?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, there is such a thing as garlic intolerance, and it's probably, the prevalence of that is maybe 5 or 8% of the population, where some people don't tolerate garlic at all for some reason. And it's not just that they find it abhorrent in terms of the taste. They just feel sick when they take garlic. And that may be due to some sort of enzymatic blockade that prevents them from breaking down the byproducts of garlic. I'm not sure exactly what the physiology of that is, but it's very real. And when we try to get people to take garlic, some people, even with chiolic aged garlic extract, some people report that they don't feel well. Have you seen that with some of your patients?
I have seen that with a minority of people, yeah.
Yeah, very small.
And we just have them try taking it in different ways or reduce the dose, and they're able to better tolerate it.
So, you know, let's consider what some of the effects with this would be. Is one, you could get some potential blood thinning, okay, because garlic is a blood thinner, but it's kind of an interesting experiment, you know, to see would there be a pathological blood thinning? Would it be to the point where, you know, if he cuts himself while shaving, blood doesn't stop, or if he, you know, injures himself and bruises himself, there's a big, big, swelling of the joint, or there's, a giant bruise. The other thing is that garlic has antihypertensive effects, but usually it requires a lot of garlic to achieve that. Raw garlic, a chiolic aged garlic.
Like
extract.
A quarter pound?
Many cloves of garlic. Many cloves of
many
garlic.
Many cloves of garlic. Yeah.
I think we're going to achieve a quarter pound. What are we talking about? Like, maybe like four or five garlic bulbs? It's
4 ounces. Yeah.
Four or five garlic, not just the bulbs, the entire...
It's 4 ounces, right.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, Victor, while for somebody with any candida issues at all, garlic is a powerful antifungal and all of that, it's almost nature's antibiotic. And I wonder if taking too much, what would you say, Dr. Hoffman, if taking too much can cause such changes in the microbiome as to going too far?
Yeah, that's conceivable theoretically, but what we might get is a real suppression of bad species, candida, and so-called bad bacteria.
That's true.
And there's no question that some bacteria are going to survive the onslaught of all that garlic. And whether they're good bacteria or not so good bacteria, may depend. Yeah. We use it's interesting that this approach is interesting, is that he feels better. Why does he feel better? Maybe he's getting rid of bacterial overgrowth. One of the tools we use in treating SIBO, which is small intestine bacterial overgrowth, is a rather expensive supplement called Alimax, which is a derivative of garlic. And it's rich in a compound which is not found in chiolic aged garlic extract, which is allicin, which is the antimicrobial part of garlic. And, you know, that's an expensive supplement. Maybe, you know, a workaround is to eat a lot of garlic for some people, if they tolerate it. I mean, it's a lot easier to take, you know, Alimax because it's better tolerated than eating, you know, a quarter pound of garlic.
Yeah. But and you know what? The way Victor is preparing it is the way to derive the most allicin from it, which is finely chopped and minced.
Yeah.
And then you kind of set it aside for couple of minutes.
Exactly. There's a preparation factor there, is that you have to chop the garlic to unleash the compounds, the valuable compounds.
Yeah.
Right. And then, and let it sit for a while and not consume it immediately. Right. That's interesting. You know, maybe we've hit upon something there. You know, maybe some of our listeners may want to try high-dose raw garlic and comment on their experiences and share them with us here on this forum.
I have heard some people say, oh, I eat one clove of raw garlic a day during cold and flu season, and I've not had the flu, I've not had a cold or anything like that. I'm like, great, but how's your social life?
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. I think it's wonderful if you could do that. I mean, I love chopped raw garlic on a salad.
Yeah.
Well, am I going to do that on many work days? Not necessarily.
Right. Yeah, what about, I want to ask him, what did he do on New Year's Eve? You know, was he invited anywhere? Maybe there's like a garlic fancier's ball or something, you know, where garlic lovers get together and, you know, have garlic martinis or something.
Yeah, I think there's a garlic festival out on the east end of Long Island once a year. I'm trying to recall what time of year that, I know there's a garlic thing and then a horseradish.
There's a garlic festival in California, in somewhere in Northern California, where that's like the garlic capital of the world. And so those garlic fanciers congregate there.
Yeah. Victor, do you travel to Northern California?
No.
Anyway, yeah. But I imagine, Dr. Hoffman, then as long as Victor feels fine, he feels fantastic, he's not having any digestive upsets issues or anything, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe we've hit on a new therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But thank you for your question, Victor.
Yep.
All right. Let's see here. We've got an email from John. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, would there be any health benefits to incorporating grapeseed oil into my diet, either for cooking or use on fresh salads and vegetables? Thanks, guys. My family benefits tremendously from your highly valuable health information. Best regards.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about your perspective on that question because I used to use a lot of grapeseed oil, but I've kind of gotten a little away from it. Because it does have monounsaturated fats. It's supposed to have a high smoke point, I'm told. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yes.
And
that's why cooks and chefs love it.
And it has some monounsaturated fats too. But is it good to use?
It's quite high in the omega-6.
That's the problem.
Quite high in the omega-6.
I think that's the problem, right?
Fats. Yeah, that is the problem. And that's why it could be very pro-inflammatory in the body.
I have some concerns with the stability because I kept some out for a long time and I wasn't using it very much. And then I smelled it and it really smelled like it had gone rancid. So there's some issue with stability as well and possibly because of the high omega-6 content.
Exactly, which is the problem with most of our vegetable oils, whether it's soybean, corn, canola, you know, sunflower, safflower, all of those. Cottonseed is probably one of the worst.
Yeah.
But grapeseed oil as well.
It's rather neutral. It's neutral in its flavor, which makes it desirable perhaps for certain things, certain dishes.
Right. Stir frying and things or shallow frying. And because of the high smoke point, that's what's really desired by chefs and cooks.
Right.
Is because it's not going to smoke the way something like olive oil, which would have a lower smoke point.
Yeah.
Tend to do.
I got a laugh this summer when I was, you know, I had a bunch of, you know, company and family members over, and I'm generally cooking up a storm there. And I have, unfortunately, you may encounter this where you have your house, there's no gas lines, so I had to have an electric stove, which I hate because electric heating is not as good as a, you know, as a flame. And it's a little hard to get the temperature right. So I put some grapeseed oil in a pan, and as I want to do, I walked away and did some other things. And I came back, and all of a sudden, everybody exclaimed.
Uh-huh.
There was even a little baby in the room. There was some flames were shooting up from the pan.
Oh, no!
And it was like, you know, it's like Master Chef, you know, it's like...
Iron Chef.
Yeah, it was like, and everybody was, and they just, everybody had a good laugh there after that, because it had actually reached a temperature, you talk about a smoke point, it was like flambé.
Wow. And wow.
I just set it up.
It's hard to control electric heat. Yeah.
I set it to medium heat, and I kind of like, you know, zoned out on it for a few seconds, and before I knew it, wham. But it was like.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Electric ovens as opposed to gas ovens are desirable, but electric stove tops are not so much.
No, I find them, they're kind of squirrely in terms of getting the heat just right. You know?
Yeah. We have natural gas on our property,
That's good. We're going to have that.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. But yeah, I wouldn't use grapeseed oil, as John is asking, in a salad or anything like that.
No.
If you do use it very sparingly in your cooking. But listen, there's no reason you can't use instead, you know, a little olive oil. And don't deep fry, shallow fry anything. Don't do anything like that. If you're talking about quick sautés and stir fries, olive oil can work.
Mm-hmm.
Coconut oil could even work.
Right.
So even maybe some ghee.
Right.
So, which is clarified butter.
Right.
Where the milk solids are removed. So that would be better. I wouldn't go expressly looking for grapeseed oil to have in my pantry or refrigerator. No.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. It's a lot of omega-6.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah. So, John, thank you for your question. Let's see here. Oh, we've got an email from Becky. Becky emailed, this is your Canadian nurse fan, Dr. Hoffman.
Oh, wow. That's my,
our one Canadian listener.
No, there are quite a few
right.
people, I think.
Right. Becky writes, hello, I'm a huge fan of the podcast, was wondering if at any time in future you could talk more about hormone replacement therapy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, we should do
a podcast on that
focus.
Subject. Yeah, we could do a clinical focus on that, or we could invite an expert guest to talk about that. But I will say this is that, in my own approach to hormone replacement therapy is not as aggressive as it is for some really strong advocates of it who believe that menopause is, a degenerative state that needs to be corrected with, hormone replacement. I think many women do fine without hormone replacement therapy. And it doesn't necessarily mean that your body is going to degenerate, your brain is going to turn to mush. But I am pretty aggressive about using bioidentical hormone replacement therapy for women where I think that it's a real quality of life issue. Menopause is different for different women. Some women have devastating consequences of menopause, and they do marvelously with hormones, and other women. Mm-hmm. They just breeze through menopause and they don't necessarily need hormones.
They sail right through it like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think hormone therapy is a tool to wield for various conditions. And I use, I prefer to use the topical where possible. I sometimes use the oral. I believe that you should be looking at not just estrogen and progesterone, but also testosterone and DHEA in women. And now we're looking at pregnenolone as well, as potential, issues. And it's really kind of an art, because it's different strokes for different folks. Different women, there's no one size fits all approach. Unfortunately, conventional medicine has very few options for women going through menopause. But I think more and more, GYNs are recognizing that drugs like Prempro, which is a one-size-fits-all synthetic drug, don't meet the needs of many women, and many women do better on natural combinations of natural, naturally derived estrogens applied topically or taken orally. And especially natural progesterone. This is a far cry from the effects of synthetic progesterone, a far cry. And in terms of cancer risk, I think there is, I'm not going to minimize it. This, you're on hormones for longer than your body is programmed to be on. You have to be cautious. So that's not trivial. There's some people say, oh, hormone replacement therapy reduces the risk of breast cancer. Well, maybe, but the effects might be variable. So we have to watch these women very carefully. On the man side, you know, we do use testosterone. We use THEA in both sexes. And I think testosterone can be a very, very beneficial therapy. I just saw one of our many male testosterone patients, a guy who was totally beat up in his 50s when I saw him first many years ago, exhausted, debilitated, and he's responded marvelously to testosterone, feels great. You know, essentially the appointment was abbreviated. We just socialized for much of the appointment because he said, I have no complaints. I feel phenomenal. You know, with diet, supplements, exercise program, and testosterone, it's revolutionized his life. So, you know, I'm a fan of hormone replacement therapy, and we use it. We try to use it prudently and safely because there are, you know, potential hazards. It's not something that can be casually administered to help, you know, give a patient a prescription for 5 years and ignore them and not monitor them for the potential adverse side effects.
All right. Becky, thank you very much for your email. All right. And greetings to Canada. Okay. We've got a question here. I don't have a name, but we have an email that asks, are smoked sardines less healthy than unsmoked sardines, especially in regard to the fish oils? Quick answer, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because any smoking process will actually diminish any omega-3 present in sardines, of which there is an abundance otherwise when they're not smoked.
And, of course, the same thing applies to lox, which is a more common way that people consume smoked fish. Is people say, well, I eat salmon. I have lox every Saturday, you know, bagel, cream cheese, and lox, so that's good, right?
Right.
And the answer is there's a chemical process that occurs when you smoke where it damages the omega-3 oils, which are somewhat delicate, and you don't get the same benefits.
Right, right. So you would go for the unsmoked sardines and make sure they're not packed in something like soybean oil.
Yep.
You want to get good quality. It's either got to be, you know, in water or olive oil, although we have to question where that olive oil is coming from. But as long as it's not like a soybean or worse, a cottonseed oil, a lot of these products may be canned that way.
And
so
you know what?
Unsmoked.
And you know what's good? And it's not for the faint of heart because Americans don't like sardines, but in Europe they're very popular. Just Americans are not accustomed to really fishy fish, and it took me a while to acclimate. But I remember the first time I had grilled sardines was at the British Museum in London. They have a little restaurant that kind of overlooks the main exhibit space in the center of the museum. It's kind of interesting, and then they serve, you know, interesting food there. And so I had grilled sardines for the first time, and they were delicious. Just and the trick is to put them on the, you know, put a little oil on them, put them on the grill, and virtually unadorned, they taste delicious. And what's interesting about sardines is when you eat sardines, you're eating the whole sardine. You're not, you know, necessarily filleting it. You'll eat some of the spine and some of the bones because the bones get soft. It's a small fish. And
great,
you'll get a lot
of calcium.
Yep. Great source of calcium.
Yeah. So even if you're getting canned sardines, get it with the bones. It's another great source of calcium rather than getting the skinless, boneless variety, which I think most people opt for.
Yep.
Probably.
Yeah. It's not for the faint of heart.
Get the regular sardines. You don't have to eat the tails or anything. So.
Or eat the head.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I think that daunts many people. Do we have time for a quick question? Anything that we can answer?
We've got something here. We've got from Michelle. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I love your show, all your valuable information. I take 400 milligrams of magnesium citrate at bedtime, along with theanine, 5-HCP, and melatonin for sleep. Magnesium helps me to sleep longer. But lately I'm getting a gnawing feeling at the top of my stomach about 5 to 10 minutes after lying down. And even having a small snack at that point does not help me. You need to take some food with all of those supplements, Michelle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also the magnesium citrate is rather, it's sort of a strong form of magnesium. We usually use magnesium citrate for as a laxative. So you might take a more gentle form of magnesium, like glycinate.
Take something like magnesium threonate, I think would be wonderful.
Yes, that's more, crosses the blood-brain barrier. The product is, it's called Protosorb Magnesium. Protosorb Magnesium is available at the Hoffman Center from our dispensary, as are many of the supplements we talk about. Lately, I've come across a really nice magnesium powder, you know, for people who don't like to swallow capsules, and it delivers a large amount of magnesium without causing a laxative effect. I've field tested it. And it, you take a scoop of it, put it in water. It has really nice flavor. And it delivers 300 milligrams of elemental magnesium, which is remarkable. And you can do that a couple times a day. You'll get a lot of magnesium. I found it helpful for my workouts, and I feel sort of energized from it. Magnesium is a cofactor for many of the energy pathways in the body, and I use it sometimes before a workout. It's called Reacted Magnesium by Orthomolecular, and I think we now carry it at Hoffman Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michelle, otherwise I would advise you take those supplements earlier and eat the snack first at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe take the melatonin a half hour before sleep or something.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's edition of the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, our weekly Q&A with Layla. And once again, you can send questions to a radio program, one word, radioprogram@AOL.com. And it may take us a couple of weeks because we've got a big inbox. But we'll get your question. We'll answer it as best we can. And we also urge you in the coming year to support our continued efforts to provide you with free information by going to drhoffman.com and taking a gander at some of the supplements available there. Click on Store, and you'll find a vast assortment of supplements at reasonable, competitive prices that are personally curated by yours truly and by our Hoffman Center nutritionist, Layla Mutin. We only stock the highest quality supplements, and we offer them at the most competitive prices. So do yourself a solid, and also help to underwrite this broadcast, which we'll continue to provide free in 2017, because we enjoy it.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.